Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Today we are talking about marriage and the aspect of marriage forever. That marriage is forever. It's something that the New Church teaches. If we think about love, love, we say, is forever. But yet, in marriage vows, we might say, till death do us part. And so we have a conflict within society. Is love forever and marriage only in this world? Or is marriage and the love in marriage forever? In the New Church, we see marriage as something that is forever. That the love that joins a man and a wife together in this world continues to eternity. If we think about the Lord, He is love. He is love. Heaven is a kingdom of love. So why would the Lord take what He has joined together on earth and then separate it at death? The New Church, we see it as one continuation. What we start in this world, the love that the Lord gives us in this world, is something that can continue into the next. If we think about Scripture, think about the recitation that we read this morning, the Lord talks about two becoming as one flesh, two becoming one. That's the Lord's ideal for marriage. He talks to us in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. He talks to us about two becoming one flesh. And then again, in the Gospel, He talks, says exactly the same thing, two becoming one flesh. So it is taught that love joins two people together, and that surely this love continues into the next life. But there is a verse in the Bible that makes us question, is love forever? Is marriage forever? I want to read to you, and you can follow along in your pew cards. We're reading from Matthew 22. It's a story about the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a division of the Jewish church that at the time of the Lord's coming ruled most of the Sanhedrin, which were the top order of priests who ruled the church. So they were the majority at that time. So the same day, the Sadducees, these high priests, came there. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, so no life after death, came to Jesus and asked them, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers, and the first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all the woman dies also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." Now that little section there, in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, causes people to think that there is no marriage in heaven. The Lord said they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. But luckily for us, the one thing about the Bible is it always repeats itself. And if you know the Scriptures and search out the Scriptures across all the books of the Bible, you will find more information that adds to that one idea. Never take one idea by itself. So we go to Luke, which tells the same story, but the answer that the Lord gives is similar, but with a little bit more information. And this is the answer that Jesus gives in Luke. The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Okay. Now, at first, we can look at these two and say, well, the Lord says exactly the same thing. There won't be any marriage in heaven. They will neither marry nor be given in marriage. But we've got to look carefully at what the Lord is saying here. We've got to gather together other ideas and put them all together to see the full picture. The terms that we look at carefully here that the Lord gives in Luke is about age. He says, the sons of this age and those of that age, the sons of the first age or the sons of the second age. Okay, now that's something that we hear often in the scripture. And the Lord is not talking about a time period. After all scripture is talking about us. It's a reflection of us. It's a reflection of our walk with the Lord, of our growth with the Lord. So within us, there is a first age, and within us, there is a second age. If we start gathering some ideas together, we can think about the first age of darkness and the second age of light. The first age of being far from God, and the second age of being born again. Throughout Scripture, the Lord is trying to draw a contrast between where we are and where He wants us to be. Where we find ourselves in this world, bound by worldly things, and the next life, or a heavenly life that we can find in this world. We can be in the world, but not of the world. So if we understand the Lord talking about two different ages or two different stages in our life or two different parts of life, then we can start to look at marriage. So let's look at the marriage in the first age or the first phase or the first stage of our life. The first age is a selfish age. It's an age of darkness. It's an age of being separate from the Lord. If we approach marriage selfishly, which unfortunately we all do in some way, yes, we love the person, but mixed up in all of that, there are things that we wish for ourselves, because we are both in times good, but at times selfish. So when we come together in marriage, in the selfish part of us, we want something out of that marriage. I'm sure we've all heard of marriages of convenience, right? You're looking for someone who can lift you out of your financial state, someone who has money, right? So we'll look for someone who has money and marry that person. Or perhaps it's a family name that we're after. We're after the reputation that someone can bring to our lives. Right? So financial gain or some personal gain. Maybe we go into marriage because we want that person to make us happy. So we see marriage as something that we can gain from. And that's our selfishness. We want things done our way in marriage. Right? Anybody here who is married or has been married ever had a fight with their spouse? Anybody have a fight? Okay. Everybody has a fight in their marriage. Why? Because we want things our way, right? We are still selfish. That's the first stage of our marriage. That's where it starts. It starts in the external things. It starts with how attractive that person is. Right? That's what draws us to another person. Things that we enjoy. Things that we can get out of it. So that's where we start. It's the first step. It's an important step. But that's not where marriage is meant to stay. It's the first age. The Lord's desire for us is that our marriage grows to a second stage. So what is this second stage of marriage? Where people are neither married nor given in marriage. That term married and given in marriage is a term that the Lord uses in our selfish state. Okay? That marriage is a contract. That marriage is somehow getting something, or marriage is even an ownership of that person. That's to be married and given in marriage. That's the first stage. The second stage, the Lord said, people aren't married and given in marriage. Something fundamentally changes between the first stage and the second. And that is love grows. Love grows. Let's go back to the passage in Luke. Interesting things that the Lord uses to describe the second age. Those who are counted worthy. Okay, those are worthy who follow the Lord's commandments. Those who cannot die anymore. Okay, those who cannot die anymore are those who are born again. Those who have been regenerated, who have been recreated. Okay, they are equal to the angels, right? Heaven is present in their life, or they are present in heaven in this life. The second stage of marriage is about growing in love. Growing in love with our spouse, where it's not about the external things. It's not about how beautiful they look on the outside. It's not about what I can gain from the relationship. It's not about having things done my way or ownership or fighting about things anymore. It's about looking inwards to who that person really is. What are their qualities? What do I enjoy about who they are on the inside? We read from the teachings for the new church. You can follow along in your pew card. We read from the book Secrets of Heaven. Love, which is true married love, is a union of two people on inner levels, on the levels of thought and will, and so on the levels of good and truth. Since good and truth belong to thought and truth belongs to thought and good to will. Okay? So you love what is good in that person. You love what they stand for. Right? You love the dreams that they have. And you also love the way they think. You love their understanding of life or their perspective on something. You're loving the deeper things within that person. One in whom that love is present loves what the other thinks and what the other wills. And so also loves to think in the same way and to will in the same way as the other does. Consequently, to be united to the other and become, so to speak, one human being. This is what is meant by the Lord's words in Matthew 19. So looking past the external, looking past the beauty. If you think about, we start off young and vibrant in our teens and our 20s, and life is great, and we look our best, and that's most likely when we are to find a partner. But as life goes along, so we get older and older, and our looks fade, and our skin wrinkles, and things sag, and and we don't look as beautiful as we did. But if in a married couple, those external things and the importance of them fade as well. They don't become important. They lose their importance. It's not important what the person looks like. It's important how that person loves, how that person lives. And that's what attracts us to that person. And so love, or our married life, is supposed to change over time, leaving behind the selfish things and looking to what is best for the other and doing our best for the other. That is what it is to love, to want the best and to do your best for other people. But what does that take? What does it take? It takes personal, spiritual growth. Marriage, a healthy, loving marriage, is about your spiritual growth. Right? We can't change another person. I'm sure we've all tried to change another person. It does not work. The only person we can change is ourselves. As we repent of the selfish things that brought us into marriage, as we repent of wanting control or wanting our things done our way or doing things for gain, as we repent of those things and turn to the Lord and ask Him to bring what is loving and kind and understanding and patient into our marriage, so we grow in our relationship with the Lord and we grow in our relationship with our spouse. You can't have a healthy spiritual marriage if you do not have a healthy personal relationship with the Lord, where you're turning away from self. The more we turn away from ourself, the more we can open up to another person. And the more we open up to another person and them to us, so the Lord is able to join two people, so they become as one flesh, willing what the other wants, thinking or knowing how the other person thinks, to a point where you can enter into a situation and know exactly how your spouse is taking things in. You don't even need to speak to your spouse to know that that particular situation was stressful to them, or that something that a person said was hurtful to them. Right? You know them. You know how they feel. You know how they think. The Lord is joining two people to become as one. And what God joins together, no one separates. The Lord is not going to separate two people who have loved each other deeply in this world. That love continues. That bond will continue in heaven. In heaven, from afar, when you look on angels, couples appear as one angel from a distance. Right? They are so bonded in their life that they appear as one. And only as you get closer to them do you see they're actually a married couple. That's the ideal that the Lord has. And so when we go to Scripture and we read about the Lord saying, people are not married nor given in marriage in the resurrection, because that love, if you've been married in this world, we aren't married again when we get to heaven. That love, that marriage continues. There is no remarriage in heaven. What is brought together in this world is not separated in the next, and that marriage simply continues. So what does that mean for our life? If you are married, what this teaching tells us, what the Lord is telling us, is work on your marriage. A good question to ask yourself is, am I perfect? Okay, hopefully the answer is no. Okay, I'm sure we all know that we have weaknesses, that we have faults, that there are areas of our lives where we're still selfish, where we still want things our way, we're still controlling. If you are in a marriage, work on your personal relationship with the Lord. Work on shunning the evils in your life, shunning the selfishness, shunning the control, shunning the desire for earthly things. Because it helps build your relationship. Your health, your spiritual health, is directly proportional, as it were, to the health of your marriage. So both of you work on your relationship with the Lord. And as you're drawing closer to the Lord, so you're drawing closer to each other. So that eventually the two are becoming one. Your focus is both your focus is on the Lord and what He teaches. So for married couples, keep on working. Keep on working. For people who are divorced, the Lord wants the best for you. The Lord wants you to be happy. And through the things that you've been through divorce, divorce is a very hurtful thing in one's life. And the last thing that the Lord wants for us is for us to lower our standards, or for us to think negatively about marriage. And so the best thing that one can do if one is divorced is to build up the ideals of marriage again. Well, what does a true marriage look like? How can I come into a space where I want to be married in a good and healthy way with someone again? If we are single, or if we are youth, keep those ideals of marriage up high. That what we're looking for in marriage is not just the earthly things. It's not just about the looks. It's not just about the money. But there's much more that the Lord desires for our marriage. And it has to do with love and being united together with someone. Don't let the popular culture dumb down your idea of marriage so that it just becomes about worldly gain. The Lord desires for us all to be lifted up to Him, to be lifted up to heaven. And the closer we draw to Him, the closer we draw to heaven, the more we love. And the more we love, the more we are united, not just with the Lord, but in a marriage with each other. And that journey starts now. Now, we spoke last week, it's the springtime. Now provides us with an opportunity. How do I react in this moment? In this very moment, do I choose to build my marriage, or do I choose to pull it apart? Do I choose to uplift the other person and do what is best for them, or do I choose to follow myself and do what is best for myself? The choice is ours. And so each one of us needs to work with the Lord, ask the Lord, help me, shun the evils in my life, and help me turn to You and to my partner, or to a future partner, to the ideals of marriage, and let me lift that up so that we can all be drawn to each other and to the Lord, and that what is joined together in this world can continue, and it can be like the angels in heaven, united together as husband and wife. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, You have given to us a wonderful ideal of marriage, of two people coming together as one flesh. And Lord, Your design for our lives is that we can leave the first stage of marriage and enter into a second stage, a stage that is full of love, of understanding, of compassion. But Lord, the path is one that where we need to follow you, a path where we first need to repent of the selfishness and evil in our life. And Lord, we know that you are guiding us through the difficult process, that you are with us through the difficulties of our life, and that in those moments, you are helping us to choose a better life, choose a better option, choose love. Lord, we ask that as we go out into this week, that you will keep your ideal of marriage before our minds, that we can think more deeply about our own life, about our own relationships, about our own marriage, that we may ask ourselves, where do I need to change? How can I make things better for my marriage? That through turning to you, that we might grow in a better relationship with our spouse. Lord, we thank you for all that you give. We thank you that you are always present. And we thank you that you have given us this beautiful life. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.